The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to the Small Biz Ahead podcast. Gene, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine, Elizabeth. I hear we have an interesting conversation coming up.
We do. We have Amit Mathradas, who's the general manager and the head of North American Small Business of PayPal, who's going to be coming on. I'm so excited that we got a guest this big to our little podcast here. But we had so many questions about mobile payments, and he's going to come on and talk about that. And I want to tell you a story I had using PayPal that was very positive.
Go.
Because I was just associated them with when I bought things on eBay, I paid through PayPal like 10 years ago.
Right.
And I hadn't really used them that much, but I was buying some clothing. I think I actually told you about this a couple months ago where I bought some clothes from like a new retailer online. They only operate online.
Right.
And I sent something back and I bought two things. I returned one of them and they never reimbursed me for the one I returned.
Jerks.
So I never heard from them. I kept having to follow up with them, you know, like every week I would email them. They were like, oh yeah, we're going to get to it soon. But they never followed up with me. And you were saying that was just terrible customer service. So because I had never heard of this retailer before, I paid through PayPal. There mm-hmm. was an option to pay them directly or to use my PayPal account. Mm-hmm. And I paid through PayPal. So it'd been like 2 months and I hadn't gotten refunded for the item I returned. So I contacted PayPal. I called up. This guy answered on like the first ring. He was amazing. He said, I'm going to contact them. I'm going to open a case, and if they don't get back to me within 7 days...
We're going to send the PayPal police after them. Is
no.
that right?
No. What they did is he said, we're going to refund you for that item plus your entire order. So I had ordered two things.
Right.
And they were both the same price. So he said, you're going to get your refund for that item, and we're going to refund the entire amount to you.
Wow.
So,
and then the next day he was fired for making that promise. His manager heard him. What are you doing?
No, that's the PayPal
guarantee. That's the policy. That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
Of course, this company never followed up with them.
Jeez.
So 7 days later, I immediately got into my credit card account the full order, the amount of the full order. And I just feel like now every time I see PayPal on a website, I'm like, I'm going to do business with that small business because I know they're taking things seriously using PayPal.
You know, the reason why we're having Amit on is that PayPal itself is transforming itself. And it is, listen, just to give you guys, you know, a preview, we're going to be talking about PayPal stuff. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a PayPal commercial, but at the same time, I know I have so many clients that use PayPal and they compete against other services like Square, mm-hmm. and other good payment, very good payment options. But this is where it's going. If you're running a small business, you have to take credit cards. You have to use a service like that. And ultimately, and I got to ask him about this, where's it all going with mobile payments as well? Just contactless on your phone. This affects all of us as business owners, whether we're B2B or B2C. This is how payments are going to be made. And PayPal is right in the middle of this trend. So they're a very, you know, Amit's going to be a good guy to talk to about where this is going.
Them. I mean, they're of course, really, really easy to use.
Right.
So if your business is doing business with PayPal, I feel like you're going to get more sales.
Yeah, it'll
just easy to work
help.
With. I'm
it'll
sure
help.
The other businesses are too, but in my recent experience, I had a really good experience with PayPal.
Good.
So we're going to be back with Amit right after we hear from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
We're here with Amit Mathradas. He's the general manager and the head of North American Small Business at PayPal. And his team are the key drivers of setting and executing PayPal's long-term strategy to serve small businesses. So we're going to start with our question. This is from Diane. She's a small business owner. She did not tell us what type of business she has or where she's from. So Gene will just make that up.
I'm sure it's highly successful like everybody else that poses questions here.
So here's her question. She writes, I have a pottery business. Right now I only accept cash payments because my business is so mobile. I sell at flea markets and craft fairs. I'd like to start accepting credit cards. I've seen other business owners using their mobile phones to accept payments via people's credit cards, but I'm not really sure where to start. And furthermore, what are the issues with accepting mobile payments, and what should I be looking out for? What kind of solution should I have in place for my business to deal with those issues?
Are you sure Amit's really going to be able to answer this question? It's completely unrelated to what he does.
Well, first of all, that's a great question. And we get that, you know, quite a bit. You know, just to give you a little bit of background, you know, PayPal today works with 210 million users, and about 17 million out of that 17 million are merchants globally. So we have a lot of interaction with the small business and medium business space on a daily basis. And the question that's being asked is this question that we get very often from small businesses that either have a brick and mortar with, you know, certain resources of people going through a line or paying for coffee or buying goods, or, you know, very importantly, people that are mobile and are at trade shows or are, you know, conducting business at a flea market, so, you know, wherever it may be. And so the product that we have, as you recall, PayPal, you know, started off as a yellow button on a site. And what we quickly realized is a lot of people need omni-channel solutions. And so we, you know, over the years launched a product called PayPal Here. And, you know, PayPal Here to me is the perfect solution of what this listener is looking for, because what it really offers is two components. One, it offers an app, you know, a mobile app that sits on your phone, and it comes with a free little card swiper, so you can accept credit cards anywhere. If someone wants to move up, you know, there is also an add-on that you can purchase, which accepts chip cards, contactless, like Apple Pay or other forms of contactless, and of course, all forms of debit, credit, and payment cards. So the beauty of what that solution does and why it benefits customers such as this listener is, one, you can accept payments anywhere. Two, through your mobile app, you can fire off an invoice to your customer immediately for the payment you have just taken. Three, because you're on PayPal's network, you know, this merchant would be covered under what we call seller protection. Seller protection basically is if you have a website or you're accepting payments and there's any fraud-related issues or chargeback-related issues, PayPal handles that for you. And so those are, you know, in a nutshell, the benefits. Things that I would say that they should be looking out for as they make these decisions is, one, is the solution that they're getting tied to an app so that they can actually take the payment, do the invoice, and have an end-to-end experience for their customer? Two, is there transparency in pricing? And, you know, that's a big part of, you know, the merchant should be able to know what they're being charged every time they accept a credit card, and just being, you know, working with a partner that is very transparent on that. And then the third thing is what I mentioned was security, right? Are the devices secure? And do they have things like seller protection and other things that PayPal offers that really protect the merchant as they're making these transactions?
You know, I mean, when I hear all the options that PayPal has, that sounds great. When I hear this question, though, from this listener, she's doing a craft business. She's only accepting cash. You know, my first inclination was, right, like, what century are you, you know, in that you're own? It's like, when I go to any craft fairs or whatever, it seems like people, they get it. Now, the biggest complaint that I hear from my clients and customers is always like, fees. Oh, I don't want to accept these services because then I have to pay the transaction fee and all that.
So, I mean, your sales would go up, though, because who is carrying around cash?
100% right. I think to myself, dude, I mean, you know, you're going to have people like me that will walk away at that buy because I'm not carrying around cash. So, what do you say when you come across small business owners that, you know, at first seem, you know, defensive when it comes to paying fees to be using a service like PayPal? What's your response to somebody like that?
I think you guys, you know, touched on a few key points. One is, you know, a person like me, I rarely carry cash.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're, you know, accepting things through PayPal Here and are a, you know, a customer that's in the, or a merchant that's in the field, I mean, think about all the business you're going to lose because someone either doesn't have cash or you're constantly having to break down, you know, change and find change for certain transactions. And especially if you have a line building up, the throughput of how many people you're working with starts decreasing because, you know, a lot of people don't want to wait in line to pay cash for something.
That's
so that's
true.
One piece of it. The other big one is a lot of our customers actually are online, and right. they have a web store. And things, what's happening within, especially in that situation, is even allowing, even if you decide to use, you know, your debit card, you've linked something, or you're paying with a credit card, even new solutions like OneTouch that PayPal has come out with, which effectively remembers the customer, and the next time they come to any site that has the capability as a PayPal merchant with OneTouch, it's a one click, done. Those sorts of speeds and transaction are huge. The other big thing with cash that we have found is, you know, the other thing to think about is security.
Right.
You know, in instance, you are now protected by seller protection. If you're using PayPal, you don't have to deal with, you know, chargeback and fraud issues. I mean, they will happen, but, you know, you've got a partner on your side with PayPal that will work with you to figure that piece out. So those are the other big things around, you know, going cashless, where it's starting to pick up steam is around the security lens.
All right, that's great. Did you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, so if Diane were to take her business online, which I'm sure she's going to, I mean, a pottery business, like she's probably going to open up a shop mm-hmm. online, using PayPal for both of those services, if she were to use PayPal here and then installing the OneTouch with, I use PayPal OneTouch all the time. I'm like a big PayPal user as a consumer. That I feel like that will work much more seamlessly for her if she's using both of those products.
That is, yes. I mean, in my opinion, of course it will. And there are a couple ancillary benefits that you will get by doing that. OneTouch, you know, the great thing is it's the fastest adopted product in our history. We now have over 60 million consumers and over 6 million merchants, you know, using and deploying OneTouch. Conversion for OneTouch is over 80%. So, you know, for someone who comes to offers it, you know, from a merchant's perspective, the checkout rate is a lot higher. So you're capturing more of the dollars that are sitting in your online store. And all these pieces combined is where, you know, someone gets a boost. And the second big thing is, if you have one PayPal account, which you're using for PayPal here, you're using for, you know, your online sales, over time, that volume of payments that you're getting can also be used to qualify you for a working capital loan that we offer. And so at some point in your, you know, in your customer's life cycle, you know, the merchant's life cycle, they're going to need cash to build up inventory, hire people. And PayPal has issued 115,000 merchants loans over $3 billion worth. And it's really to help boost their, at times of need, to boost their cash flow. So these are some of the benefits that come when you also connect all these accounts using PayPal.
That's great. I want to get back to the working capital services, and I promise to do that. But I got to ask you this question. I mean, okay, so first for starters, you told me you live in New York City, correct?
Correct.
Do you have an iPhone or a Droid phone?
I have an iPhone.
You have an iPhone. Okay. So you're in New York City. Now I'm in Philly and I have a Samsung, you know, phone, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, a Galaxy phone, which has not exploded as of yet. It still seems to be working fine. Tell me if I am wrong here. And you work at PayPal. This is like mobile payments. Right. I go to stores, restaurants all the time in Center City, Philadelphia, and even in New York and all that. I never use my phone to pay for anything. You know, I mean, I am still, with all of the hype that we have seen about mobile payments over the year, really, it's been a few years now. I am pulling, right? Same thing with you, Elizabeth, right? I mean, you're right?
I never use it.
Never do. No. And I'm ready to do it, but I'm pulling out my, in fact, when I try to use my phone to pay for something, I get strange looks from the people, you know, behind the counter, you know? I mean, I get so, and I'm assuming you have got to have the same experience. I mean, you're probably trying to do it and also, you know, hitting along the same issues that we have as well. When is this, you know, going to happen? I mean, are we going to hit a tipping point when we are actually going to be using our phones to pay for goods, or is this ever going to happen?
I think it will. So when you say mobile payments, you know, in my mind, it's split into two categories. One is people using their mobile phones to purchase things through apps,
right,
and the website. And that's, you know, we'll keep that as a separate conversation that we can talk about.
Right.
And then the other one is contactless, you know, where I'm just using my phone through NFC or one of those services to just, you know, tap at a store and pay.
Right.
I think where, in my opinion, where I think some of the barriers to that are, is for a consumer, you have to be on the right platform with the right merchant that's accepting that. So are they accepting Android Pay or are they accepting Apple Pay?
Right.
You know, what sort of funding source do you have linked to it? And what is slowly happening, and PayPal is actually leading the way in some of this, is we are now moving to becoming agnostic,
right,
for the customer. And what I mean by that is, you know, over the last couple of years, we've struck up deals with, you know, all the card networks, MasterCard, Visa, Discover, with, you know, credit card issuers, Citi and Chase, with payment companies that, you know, peer-to-peer, like Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, you know, Google. Because effectively what PayPal is working to do is be agnostic for the merchant and for the consumer, saying you can connect all these platforms to PayPal. You can use any funding source, whether it's your bank account or your Citi card or your or you know, any of the networks, app, you know, MasterCard, Visa, et cetera. And what I think will happen over time, and what we are betting on and what we're starting to see happening, is that level of being one-stop shop for all payments is what will drive some of the increase in take rate of consumers now saying, I have one source to pay, and whatever I'm using flows through that one source.
Yeah, I kind of, don't you think so, Elizabeth, like if, you know, if, when you go into a store right now, if I'm a merchant, I'm like, oh, okay, so now besides Visa, MasterCard, American Express, now I've got to accept Apple Pay, you know, Samsung Pay, Android. It's like, and then if, obviously if you're a consumer, it's confusing as well. To me, it seems like you have a platform like a PayPal where, you know, it's like, listen, I just, as a merchant, I accept PayPal. And if I'm a consumer, if I have the PayPal app on my phone, it's connected to my credit card.
You can link that to however you want to link.
Is there any concerns that I should be thinking of if I'm a merchant for doing that? In other words, is that going to cost me? When I think about that and I think about cost, I think like, all right, so now instead of just accepting Apple Pay, I'm going to accept PayPal because that integrates, you know, that'll work with Apple Pay. And when I hear like it's another layer of another company being involved, the first thing that comes to my mind as a merchant is that must mean I'm going to have more costs involved. Is that, do you think that's going to be reality or not?
I don't think so. In fact, my viewpoint is I think over time your costs probably come down. Hmm. And here's the reason why. Look, for PayPal, for a merchant, we're very transparent on what we charge.
Right.
There is no hidden fees. There's no differential if you charge with Amex or with MasterCard. It's all one flat fee. For a merchant, you're no longer having to install or deal with multiple pieces of hardware over time to say, you know, do I have to have a solution for Apple Pay, Android Pay? You know, will this contactless device work on, you know, all the new forms of payments and contactless providers that are coming out?
True.
So effectively, what that does over time is, you know, concentrate and say, hey, if you just accept PayPal, your customer, this 200 and, you know, million plus base that PayPal has, we have now given them the ability to link whatever funding source they want. And that will A, increase the usage, we believe, of PayPal, which we're seeing. But also, as we introduce these 200 million consumers to these, you know, 17 million merchants, the throughput will start going up.
Right.
And so that's the model. And that's why, you know, we're talking about being agnostic and partnering with all the players in this space to really become the platform and democratize payments, and be that one solution.
Yeah, it totally makes the most sense to do that. And plus, just the ease of use for consumers would hopefully have an impact on activity and sales in your store as well. Okay, let me shift gears a little bit, if that's okay.
Yeah,
I just,
great.
Working capital, right? I mean, we're beating you up here on everything there has to do with PayPal.
So there's going to which is great.
Yeah, there'll be a test after this. But so working capital, I mean, PayPal, a lot of other merchant services, you know, you compete against Square, you compete against other, you know, other companies like that have similar programs. So number one is, can you explain to me, I'm a merchant, how does PayPal working capital work? And that's part one of the question. And then part two is, why wouldn't I just use a bank? Like, what? Why would I use you instead of a traditional financing if I need working capital?
Got it. So let me answer the first part of that question,
sure,
which is, what is working capital?
Right.
So what working capital is a product we offer, which effectively is, you know, a loan that helps merchants, you know, improve their cash flow and during times of need. The way it works is, when you sign up for PayPal, after a few months of us just knowing your transactional volume, we build up a little bit of history on you as a merchant and say, we know that, you know, merchant X or Y does this much of revenue, and this is the standard flow that they have. What that allows us also then to do is better qualify people for loans and give them, you know, more attractive rates and have more data so that we can issue more loans than a traditional bank. The way it works is someone comes in, applies for a working capital loan. You know, we go through the process, they get approved. And the payback method is actually very simple for them. They actually can choose to pay back as a percentage of revenue versus doing a monthly installment. So on a day that you have no revenue, you know, no one showed up or you didn't go to a trade show, you don't pay anything. On a day you had a massive spike, and if you say I'm paying back 5% of revenue, you know, that percentage. So it helps. What that really allows a merchant to do is also manage how they pay back, and they're not burdened with a monthly installment regardless of where they are in their sales cycle during the year.
That's interesting.
Makes sense. How does approval work? Is it fairly quick? Like, how long does it take from, if I want to apply, how long would it take?
It's fairly quick. So once you've been on the platform for a while, and we have about 2-3 months of history on you, then you just apply, and the approval is, you know, I'd say within hours to a day or two, depending if we need more information.
And then I'm assuming funds are available. You would approve a working capital line that based on my revenues, mm-hmm. and then I can, or cash receipts actually, and then I'd be able to pull money out based on that line whenever I want.
And the funds are deposited into your PayPal account.
I think the fact is, though, is that interest rates are still higher. Nowhere near as much as what like some online lenders charge or whatnot.
Or a credit card.
But they are higher than a bank rate. But it's, you know, dealing with a traditional bank takes way longer with much less chance of approval and less availability of funds. Is that a fair statement to make?
That is a fair statement. You know, where we see PayPal Working Capital really, you know, helping and where the niche really is in some levels to the folks that may not have enough history to go work with a bank and get a loan.
Right.
Someone who's a new business and has just been around for, 6 months to a year and is like, okay, it's time. I know my business is growing. Things are working. I want to hire somebody or buy inventory. So because, this is based on the information we have on the PayPal network and your payments that you're accepting, and we know a profile of you, it allows us to serve that base that traditionally may not be served by a bank.
You're running a coffee shop or a restaurant or whatever, you're in business for 4, 5, 6 months, you're still not, getting a loan from a bank is still very, very difficult to do. Banks need longer history than that. And yet, meanwhile, your transaction service, PayPal, your payment service is getting, you see the numbers, right? Every day you've got them in front of you, so you know what my turnover is, and therefore you can make advances based on that. That makes a lot of sense.
And this program, as I'd mentioned earlier, has been hugely successful. We've helped 115,000 businesses, across the globe, have issued over $3 billion of loans. So it is something that, our customers are obviously asking us for, but it's also something that they benefit, by coming to PayPal and working with us, because once we understand who you are, we want to partner with you on your growth. And when you have issues such as cash flow problems, we're there to help you.
Fair enough. That's great. All right, I know we don't have that much time for that much more, but I did want to ask you another area that I've always been interested in with PayPal, which is their global seller initiative.
Yeah.
And I know there was, PayPal and eBay were together for a number of years, and they had, an amicable split, and PayPal's on your own. But there was a lot of advantages if you are a company that you've got an e-commerce site or a website, you want to try and sell overseas. And even if you're trying to sell through Amazon, Alibaba, wherever platform you're using, PayPal can provide assistance to help you do that with a lot less headaches. And I don't know that much about that program. What kind of assistance would PayPal provide?
By giving you a statistic that that we always use.
Okay, you're digging it up.
Shows the importance of how global e-commerce is now becoming so relevant. By 2025, there are going to be 4.2 billion consumers spending $30 trillion globally.
And they will all be located in Beijing. Is that right?
Well, I'm sure quite a few of them will be. But, as India, China, Europe is already a big market,
sure.
Of course. So with that, what we've quickly realized is, merchants and small businesses, traditionally the way they served, was, hey, I want to serve a local market. Maybe I've got a localized assortment or a service level. As merchants are facing, pressures from others, other large players in the market, what globalization really allows these businesses to do is to reach customers across the globe that traditionally they wouldn't have for their products or unique services. What PayPal's global services solution is, it's really a toolkit. And we partnered with a company called Web Interpret. And what it does is we basically take your current website. We can, within a week, translate it into 60 different localized languages. We can help you with SEO and SEM in the local country so that you get found, you know, when someone in Beijing is searching for a solution. It deals and helps you run all the currency conversion, tax conversion, and also, you know, helps small businesses with shipping. So effectively, what happens is if I'm a business in Kansas and I want, and I find that, you know, I do all this, I get my website and someone in Beijing buys, all I have to do is ship my product to a Web Interpret hub and they ship it out to the end user. And so we help with, you know, that solution really helps with the end-to-end of taking your small business and making it global.
That's great. How long has that program been around?
So we've been, you know, we've been doing things around cross-border trade for, you know, years in the sense of providing tools, tips. The Web Interpret solution, you know, is something that we've done this year and kind of building up the whole, you know, website translation, helping you with, you know, of course, PayPal's always accepted payments in, you know, multiple currencies and in, you know, 200 plus markets around the world. So that coupled with the capability that Web Interpret provides is really, in our view, a little bit of a game changer for the SMB space.
Great stuff. Amit, thank you. That was a great conversation.
Thank you so much. I just want to bring it back to Diane's question.
Please.
I'm so happy that she wrote in about bringing her pottery business into the 20th century. And instead of having Jean yell at her, we actually had Amit from PayPal on, like, the actual source to say, yes, you can easily do that with a card reader and your phone.
Taking cash in 2017. I would have been yelling at her for doing that, but...
Thank you so much. This was such a great discussion on all of the different things, all of the different ways that small business owners can take advantage of what PayPal offers. And we really appreciate you having you on. And I'm sure the listeners got a lot out of this, including the working capital conversation.
Agreed.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Do you want to start a business but don't know how to leverage your skills and strengths? Small Biz Ahead has you covered. Our new ebook, Opportunity Knocks, How to Find and Pursue a Business Idea That's Right for You, will help you determine the best markets for you to start a business in, how to set up a business based on your personality, and how to put your ideas into action with a solid business plan. Go to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
We're back with Jean's Word of Brilliance. Jean. You know I just went to Germany.
Yes, and I already gave you a preview what my word of brilliance is going to be. And my word of brilliance today, Elizabeth, is beer. I wrote about this recently, how the beer industry not doing so well. In
because
fact,
so many people are home brewing?
Well, that's a good question. Worldwide, China, Germany, England, you know, other countries are they're seeing a decline in beer sales. And in the U.S., Goldman Sachs just recently did a report that found out that beer sales in the U.S. have stagnated, and they are actually predicting in 2017 there will be a decline in beer sales.
Is beer sales something we want to see increase?
Well, it's a big industry. There are some big brands, you know, the Boston Brewing and Constellation Brands. You know, they make like Corona. Mm-hmm. Their stock prices get hit, so that impacts the wealth of a lot of people, investors, as well as their employees that work there. So yeah, we do. We want to see every industry do well. Not only that, but those are the big companies that are affected. Beer impacts small businesses across the country because people are craft breweries that affects.
There's so many popping up in the Hartford area.
And just how about bars and restaurants? And what impact does that have on their sales and obviously in their profits as well? So you know, what's impacting this? You'd mentioned, was there home brewers? A little bit of an impact. There's the biggest impact, and it's those darn millennials again. Apparently, that generation, that's the 18 to 34-year-olds, but actually, even into their early 40s, they are moving more towards wine and spirits. So when we got
whiskey is huge right now.
Whiskey is huge. So people are drinking craft bourbons. You know, when I go, you know, people drink wine because it's less filling and there's more choices and there's whatever. So they're moving into. And then there's another little thing that's kind of creeping up, but it's that legalization of marijuana in some states as well, like in the Oregon and in Colorado. And that's having an impact on beer sales as well. So the reason why I think that's important is that if you are running a restaurant or a bar, if you're a craft brewer, if you are somewhere involved in the beer industry, you might want to take a look at what you're ordering next year, and you might want to change your inventory around a little bit, because your customers might not be wanting beer as much as they might want some craft bourbons instead.
I'm seeing more and more cider on menus too at restaurants. Maybe that's part of the gluten-free
thing. Cider was also very popular, has always been very popular in Europe and in England.
But
in
not
fact,
really in the
not
US.
In the US.
But
and
now
it, was,
it really is.
It's really becoming. It's alcoholic cider, and it's actually delicious. But anyway, be careful if you're in that business. Beer sales are declining. They're projected to continue to decline, at least for the foreseeable future. So take a look at your inventory and your purchasing practices for the next year.
All right. Good tip. We'll be back in a couple days with our next episode, which is about favoring your best employee. Ooh. How to avoid doing that.
Or to do it.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Jean for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.